instead of sitting down and coming back up today, we'll start off with reading the scripture, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, there in the section of the Bible that we call the major prophets, Daniel being the last one of those major prophets. Then we get the smaller books called the minor prophets, though their message is just as major as the other ones. I left my helpers over here. Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse number 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying, and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. He's speaking of Jerusalem, the holy mountain that they had to leave from, that had been decimated. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening obligation. That means that was the same time of the evening that when they were in Jerusalem, they would have had the evening sacrifice by the priest. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your recorded word. Father, what you have revealed to your servants, that you would have them to record, has been recorded, that you led the council of men by your Holy Spirit to decide on what books would be in the Bible. And we have today your word to us, your revelation. And we thank you that every part of it, from Old Testament to New Testament, all 66 books, are for our teaching and for our instruction, for our learning and for our training in righteousness. So, Lord God, I pray that now you would use once again your word. You tell us and you promise that your word will not go forth and come back void, but it will accomplish what you sent it forth to do. You tell us that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Father, we trust your word to be at work in our lives individually and our lives as a body of believers here. And so, Lord, we give you this time for you to speak to us in a special way. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So last week, we began to look at this Daniel chapter 9. We're continuing a series that I've been entitled The Nation of Israel. How close are we to the coming from nation of Israel being established all the way to God, bringing everything to pass and bringing everything into a culmination in to the time where he will set Christ up and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we will move into what we know as the millennial period, or a thousand-year reign of Christ here on the earth is coming. So last week, we could have entitled our message in another way and called it The Content of Daniel's Prayer, and today we would follow up that and call this The Response to Daniel's Prayer. But I really entitled the message today, An Amazing Answer to Prayer. An Amazing Answer to Prayer. So the content of it is the response that Daniel gets in this particular time of prayer. Now I want to just tell us at the beginning, and I'll remind us this throughout and at the ending, not all prayers have this kind of response. So sometimes folks will look at a passage in the Bible and think it's supposed to always take place that way. That's not what I'm proclaiming today, and that's not what the Word of God teaches. And so we don't want to think that. But I want us to look at three main observations about this prayer time of this great man of God, this great prophet of God. Now, a prophet of God had two roles. They were to foretell the truth. They were preachers, evangelists. They were men of instruction and men of correction, many times for the nation of Israel, but also to other nations. You know, Jonah preached to Nineveh, and so Nahum also preached to Nineveh. Obadiah preached to the Edomites. And so most of the prophets that we have recorded in the Bible were preaching to the Israelites, but some did preach out to other nations. We believe that it's very possible that Daniel's book of Daniel and Ezekiel's book may have been left in the land of Babylon, a copy of it. And maybe some of those that were the wise men that came to Israel at the birth of Christ may have actually read these and been that gave them reason to look for the coming Messiah. So we want to see that Daniel, being a prophet, not only foretold the truth, but sometimes they foretold the future with God's aid and assistance. So that's the two main roles of the prophets. Let's look at three main things about this prayer of Daniel. Number one, Daniel's prayer was being answered before he finished praying. It's an amazing thing here. Daniel's prayer was being answered before he even finished praying. Verse 21 and 22 and 23 all allude to that. Yea, while I was speaking in the prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening obligation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the command came forth. In other words, God had given him a command. Come here, Gabriel. I got an assignment for you. Go forth now and tell Daniel this information. Go and speak to Daniel. Touch him. Get his attention. And so God was doing an amazing, a great work here in this time of Daniel's prayer. This is God's foreknowledge and God's omniscience. So we talk about God's all-knowing. We talk about God is all-present everywhere. And God is all-loving and all-caring. And he knew what Daniel was going to pray and what about Daniel was going to pray even before he prayed. And the answer came forth even before Daniel prayed. Our prayers are not always that way. Not every other prayer in the Bible is that way. God, we might ask, knows what we're going to pray about. God knows what we need. God knows what we want. So why pray? That's a great question that's been asked many times. Why pray if God already knows this? If God is all-knowing and God has foreknowledge, then why spend time even praying? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. God wants us to pray because God wants our attention. God wants us to turn our attention to him. God wants us to remind ourselves that we're relying upon him. God wants us to seek his will and to do his will. God wants our faith and our faithfulness. God wants our trust, and God wants us to rely upon him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that most of us know pretty well says, lean not on your own understanding. But we also need to lean on our own strength, lean on our own provision. If we got everything that we wanted, boy, we'd make a mess of our lives, wouldn't we? But God is knowing, and so when we seek God in prayer, we are seeking his will. Lord, I want your will. Jesus taught us to pray that way. Your will, God, but not mine be done. In this prayer, the answer was coming quickly on its way. And we think, boy, I wish all our prayers were like this. Not all of our prayers will be like this. Not all of our answers will be like this. There's others that came forth through the Bible that prayed a long time and did not get an answer for a long time. Had to pray and labor in prayer for many years. Maybe there's somebody you've been praying for. And what do we often do? We want to give up. God hadn't answered it in a year. God hadn't answered it in 2 years. Well, maybe it's not good. No, don't give up. Don't quit praying. Keep on praying. There's others in the Bible. You remember Abraham and Sarah prayed for a child, prayed for that son of their flesh. They sought God to do it another way outside of God's will, and God had to correct and remind them, that's not the answer to the prayer. Keep on praying, keep on waiting. the Israelites, how long did they pray for a deliverance out of Egypt? They prayed for 400 years for a deliverer. That's longer than America's even been a nation. They prayed for their deliverance out of slavery. Hannah prayed for a child. God finally blessed her with Samuel, but she prayed for many years. She had to suffer the other wife antagonizing her over and over and over again. And sometimes when we pray and we don't get the answer we want, we have Satan that antagonizes us. Look, see, God's not listening to you. You're not living good enough to get that answer. God's never going to hear you. God's never going to move in your behalf. And we can either listen to that voice or we can reject that voice and say, get behind me, enemy, and I'm going to keep trusting God and keep praying and seeking for God to move. The Israelites prayed for a Messiah. How many young girls must have prayed? Dear God, I'm willing for you to use me to be the mother of Messiah. Lord, quickly, please. And the Israelites were praying during Jesus' time, Lord, set us free from these Romans. Man, they're hard people to live under. And it didn't come for many, many years for them. Many Jews have prayed for years for God to put them back in their own land. It wasn't until that miracle of 1948 they got that answer. And that shows us we're getting closer to the end of times. But I'm reminded today that Daniel's situation here is unique. This answer, his prayer, that Daniel got his prayer answer and it came before he was even finished praying. Not all prayers are that way, but sometimes they are. How do we know which one is going to be for us? I don't know. We just keep on praying. Keep on praying. Second of all, Daniel's prayer answer was delivered by an angel. Daniel's prayer answer was delivered by an angel. Look at verse 21. It tells us that. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision, now that telling us that he's an angel, in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the even obligation. Another unique part of his prayer. It was being answered before he finished, and it was being delivered by an angel. Well, that's pretty neat. The man Gabriel is identified as an angel Gabriel. Turn back to the chapter before, chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. We'll find a little bit more about this identification. Chapter 8, verse 15. And it came to pass. You ever heard Mark Lowry, the comedian, Christian comedian, sings with the Gaithers. He says that's one of his favorite portions of Scripture. And it came to pass. It's a reminder not everything's going to stay like it is. If you're in a hard time right now, if you're in a difficult time, it'll come to pass in God's time. And it came to pass. That scripture phrase is used over and over. And it came to pass when I, even I, Daniel, he identifies himself there twice, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Oftentimes, God uses angels to appear like looking like a person, often like men. And I heard a voice between the banks of Uliah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And it came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. And so we find this identification in the chapter before, and it helps us a little bit more. There are at least three angels that I was thinking of. Maybe I missed something. I was just thinking about this week. There's at least three angels that we have in the Bible that are identified by names. The first one that we know that's identified by name is Lucifer, who today is Satan, who's our great adversary. Satan is identified as one of the great angels, as Lucifer. And he sought to be equal with God, and we know that God said, there is no equal with me, and so he was cast from God's presence to be God's servant and messenger. Then another angel that we have by name is Michael the archangel. And then we also have here Gabriel. Now, why would God use an angel to deliver his message at this time? I just thought maybe a couple things that we might observe. First of all, it's a major announcement Gabriel was warranted to bring. It was a major announcement from God, so an angel was warranted. Second of all, it was a major attention from the recipient was desired. If you're praying, and you got your eyes closed, maybe like Daniel did, and you're on your knees, and he's facing probably toward Jerusalem like he had done earlier in the book, and all of a sudden you think you're at home by yourself, and you get a touch on your shoulder while you're praying, it's going to get your attention, isn't it? And I'm sure it got Daniel's attention. And so the major attention was desired of the recipient. And third, a major recording of the message was necessary. The angel reminds him, record this, Daniel. Record this. Gabriel is also found in the New Testament, the angel Gabriel. Matter of fact, he's found twice. We looked at one a couple weeks ago, Zechariah. The priest, he was praying, him and his wife had not a child. That's another example of someone who prayed for many years, a faithful man of God, a faithful woman of God, godly people, and God, for some reason, all these years had been saying no. Well, the great reason was, is he was going to come at an important time to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the New Testament tells us Jesus came at the exact time that God had ordered. And so Zechariah, the priest, had seen an angel. But also, we find in the New Testament, also in Luke, that to Mary, the mother of Christ, the Gabriel had appeared. And so we have three major appearances of Christ, messenger, Gabriel, the angel, and all of them have an announcement that has something to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, he's talking about future end times where Christ will have to set up his kingdom over the Antichrist. We'll get to that later in chapter 9. Then we have the forerunner being announced, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ being announced by an angel. And then we have the Messiah himself being announced to Mary. So Gabriel is used for major, major message announcements throughout the Bible. The Bible is consistent. There's a connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Notice that Gabriel speaks to the two men as a result of the prayer. To Daniel, Daniel was praying about the time of the evening obligation. And it's very likely that Zechariah is in the temple at the time of the evening obligation when God uses Gabriel to tell him about John the Baptist being born. So the two men have that in common. And then Mary and Daniel have something in common. To Mary, he says, "You're highly favored." Mary, and Mary's attention to God, don't be alarmed, Mary, you're highly favored. God's chosen you to be the mother of the Messiah. And then to Daniel, the angel says, thou art highly beloved. So Daniel's kind of like Apostle John in the New Testament. John is referred to as the disciple that Jesus dearly loved. He loved all the disciples, but John and Jesus had a special relationship. And God and Daniel in the Old Testament have a special relation. He's dearly beloved. It's interesting the parallels that we have in Scripture. These are special occasions, in the Bible that we have of God doing this. But we also have throughout the Word of God, the Bible tells us throughout the Bible that you and I are also dearly beloved. So don't think and leave today, well, you know, I'm just a second class to God. I'm not as loved as John the Apostle. I'm not as loved as Daniel. Yes, we are. And the Bible makes it clear over and over and over again that God loves each one of us dearly. We never will be worthy of God's love. Love, genuine love, is not something that's earned. I'd be in bad shape if I had to earn Connie's love all the time. Love is something that's genuinely given. If you have to earn it, it's not genuine biblical love. And God loves us. None of us can earn God's love. You can't put yourself in a position to be loved by God more, you can put yourself in a position to be used by God more. John 3:16, let's say it together. It reminds us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice the love part appears before the believed part. He loves us before we believed what he did for us. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love. God demonstrated, God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're highly loved and favored by God. That God would love us so much to send Christ. I've heard people say it. I've heard people teach it. I've heard people preach it. You are worth so much that God was willing to send his son to die for you. The Bible really doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches us that we're filthy, rotten sinners, that all of our righteous works are as filthy rags, and there's nothing that we did, nothing, no goodness in us that would cause God to look down and say, look how good they are, I think I'll send my son to die for them. The Bible actually teaches the opposite. Look how, what a miserable state they're in, and the only solution is for me to send my dear son to die for them. So, none of us can ever puff our chest out and say, look at all I did to deserve and earn God's love and favor. God gives that freely, undeservedly. We cannot earn it. Thirdly, and lastly, Daniel's prayer answer included a prophetic message. Daniel's prayer message included a prophetic message. A result of this particular prayer was a revelation from God that's one of the most amazing revelations of all of Scripture, in my opinion. Again, we're in a unique dimension here. In case you thought that we were getting away from the message surrounding prophecy that we've been looking at for the last 14 weeks, how close are we? How close are we getting to the end of things? End of the world, the coming of Jesus. Here, we're drawing back to it. So last week's message and today's message is like that volleyball player. You know volleyball? One team hits it over the net and they hit it to the back. Then they put their arms together and they bump it. Then it comes up front line and they hit it up like that. Then the person comes over from that corner and they spike it. That's what last week's sermon is. The girl in the back bumping it up, and then this week's sermon is setting up like that, and next week is going to be the big spike because we're going into this part of Daniel, chapter 9, and this great prophetic message of the 70 weeks of Daniel. An amazing prophecy that gives timetables that the Jews should have been looking for to tell them exactly when Messiah was going to appear on the scenes, and they missed it. So this unique dimension, we get back to prophecy. And as I said, in my opinion, I believe this is one of the most unique of the prophetic messages throughout Scripture. Look at verse number 23 again, chapter 9. Daniel's being told by the angel, 70 weeks are determined. This is part of the answer to the prayer. 70 weeks. Now, these weeks means groups of seven. It exactly means 7 years. So 70 groups of 7 years are determined upon thy people. Who are thy people? The Jews. And upon the holy city, what's that? Jerusalem. To finish the transgression or the punishment for sin, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying at the end of these 70 weeks, when it's all fulfilled, then Christ, the Holy One, will have his full anointing, and then he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Messiah and deliver for all people and set up his kingdom. That's what this prophetic message, answer of this prayer is all about. It's a matter concerning the future of the Jewish people. Daniel wanted to know how they were getting to be freed from the land of captivity. And God is saying, Daniel, because you're concerned about that, hey, I got a bonus for you. I'm going to tell you something more than about physical captivity. I'm going to tell you about this great future event where you have physical and spiritual release of all things in Christ is going to set up his kingdom. And it's been revealed to Daniel. About the return to home. land they were going to get to go back. And then about the return, about the Messiah's being sacrificed. It says here in this prophecy we get a look at next week when Messiah is cut off. It's making reference to his rejection and his crucifixion. And then part of the vision is about the coming of the Antichrist and how Christ will defeat him. We don't have time to begin to unwrap all of that today. So that's what we have to look forward to next week. So in Sunday school, I gave people an assignment, a Bible verse or verses to look at. I'm going to give it to you also. If you weren't in Sunday school, you can work on it. Maybe you'll come to Sunday school. Maybe you'll just think about it. But we talked about in Sunday school about a lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus being Lord of our lives and we living under his lordship. And so I pose the question, what verse or group of verses would you look at and take those verses and look at your life in consideration of those verses, compared to those verses, to see how you're doing spiritually, how you're growing? The self-examination, so to speak. Sometimes people in their job, you have a six-month evaluation or you have a year-long evaluation. Or at school, you have a weekly evaluation. What verses would you look at to evaluate your life? And so, next week, we'll look at more of this Daniel chapter 9, this great vision concerning 70 weeks. But let me draw some conclusions of today's scriptures, give us a couple of things, a couple of points, a couple of things to look about. Some conclusions. Number one, God wants us to pray with the same fervor that Daniel prayed with. We may not get the same results, but we're to pray with the same fervor. He prayed at a time, at a place, at the evening obligation. So we set a time and place. Number two, God may not answer our prayer in the manner that he did with Daniel in this noted time. God may not do it this way. This is sort of like high-tech, you know, lights going off and everything, but God may not answer our prayer that way, maybe in a quiet, subtle way. This is just one recording of one of Daniel's prayers. Another one, Daniel prayed and he got saved from the lion's den. That was pretty amazing too. But you know what? Throughout the course of Daniel's life, I'm sure that he had other, what we would consider ordinary answers to prayer. So don't think, just because my prayers don't seem to be an answer like Daniel's or other people in Scripture, don't quit. Number three, God may not use an angel to deliver our answer, or at least an angel that we see. The Bible talks about there are ministering angels all around us. Angels are in the unseen realm, another dimension. Sometimes God does allow the angels to be seen. The angels were seen at the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were seen with Daniel. They were seen at other times. God may not use an angel to deliver your answer, but that's okay. God still can bring answers. Don't always have to have the big show to know that God's at work. Fourthly, God's answer most likely will not include a prophetic message to the answer of your prayer. But just because it's not some new revelation that God gives doesn't mean that God is not loving and gracious in answering your prayer. So many people today are looking for a sign. We don't need a lot of signs. We got 66 books to keep us busy. So, then let me give you, those are some conclusions. Let me give you two things of encouragement concerning prayer. I've really said it already, but I want to say it again. A matter of encouragement about our prayer life, keep on praying. What is it you've really been praying long-term about? I have one. Well, I have several. One's really burdened on me. And I like to see some things happen to some people that I know spiritually in their lives, and I've been praying about that. I prayed for my dad for many, many years before something happened. I'm praying for grandchildren that are young. And two of them have made a confession, profession of faith and been baptized, and I got to participate in that. But I have two grandchildren who are younger. One's just a year old. She's got a ways to go, but I'm praying that she'll be saved early in life and live for the Lord. I'm praying that Granger will come to that understanding. Who are you praying for to get saved? Who are you praying for in their spiritual walk? I saw this acronym before, PUSH. Have you ever seen the acronym PUSH when concerning to prayer? Sherry? P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. I saw her already saying it, so I let her go ahead and say it. It's good to have participation, right? PUSH, pray until something happens. Where you know God has said yes or no. Keep on praying. And then, as a part of that, pray with expectation. Daniel was praying with an expectation, and God gave him more than he expected. And God will often do that for us in our lives. And then sometimes God won't give us our expectation. But what do? We keep on trusting because we trust that his will, his knowledge, far outweighs ours. Amen? Let me encourage you today, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, and you need to do that, love to talk to you about that. God's been speaking to your heart about trusting him as Savior and calling upon him for salvation. I'll encourage you to do that today. If there's something you need to pray about and you just say, hey, I want to come forward, and Pastor, I want to ask you to pray with me, pray for me. Or maybe you want to join our church, or maybe you've never been baptized. You need to do that. You come forward today as a time of invitation. I'd love to talk to you about whatever your need is and your concern.